Tim, when you said Matthew, I thought I was going to be told off. That's what my mum. Bless you. Good morning. My name is Matt, and I'm one of the leaders here at Jubilee Church. I just want to reflect on worship, that lovely time we had when I felt that peace of the Lord. And I hope we continue in that throughout this time that we share together, and that your hearts are open to receive what I believe God has put on my heart to share with you. You know, when I was asked to present a standalone preach that is not following a series, it's exciting because one has freedom to go wherever they want. So my starting point was this. I thought, I want to bring a word or message that is relevant and specific for Jubilee Church right now for such a time as this. Something that helps us on our collective journey towards becoming more like Jesus and helps build and develop this church, Christ Church, as we move into a new future. Now, the title of my preach is this. It's actually changed a few times, but I'm going to settle on this one. Free from Satan's footholds. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I may get a thought or an idea that I believe is from God, but I'm not 100% sure. It might not be on a particular theme or topic. And I want to be sure it is from God, because I want confirmation before I bring it. So I felt that God was encouraging me to speak about sin. And I was actually thinking, really, God? Do I have to? Can't I speak on joyfulness and rainbows and rivers of living water and all nice things? But I felt God was showing me that whilst there is God's love and grace, and we are sanctified, that means made pure before God, all made possible through Christ's sacrifice, sin cannot be ignored. Now, I am aware there is a real danger that we can go away from a preach that majors on sin, feeling judged and unworthy, not good enough, and just generally beaten up. But I ask that we treat this as an opportunity to allow God's Holy Spirit to do a work in us, to release us from something that the enemy has a hold on. Now, you may recall, 2 weeks ago, Malcolm preached, and he relayed the story of Joshua crossing the Jordan. And he summarized the talk with four key points. Clean up, listen up, look up, and step up. These four events, they run in sequence. And it says this in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And the very first thing the Israelites were asked to do was to consecrate themselves, i.e., prepare yourselves, clean up. That meant they had to make themselves clean in accordance with Jewish custom. They had to wash themselves, wash their clothes, and to refrain from anything that would contaminate them before God. This message from Malcolm, I felt, was confirmation that I should bring a message on sin as we enter into a new season. I feel God, through his Holy Spirit, wants us to be consecrated, cleaned up. And as I began to think about the implications of this, Tim reminded me of a line that Malcolm had said, and in fact he put it on his notes, many of you may have read it and discussed it, not letting Satan's footholds become strongholds. In fact, when we was at the concert on Friday, Tim was, he did a visual illustration. And he picked his feet up like this and he brushed the dust off of his shoes. And it's symbolic of this idea of us going into a new land, crossing into the Jordan, out of the desert, getting rid of the dust. So I thought, okay, well, what does that actually mean? So I did some research, and I was getting different thoughts and ideas on the topics of footholds and strongholds, as scripture is not always straightforward, and folk interpret things with different slants and focus. So this is what I believe that statement means about footholds and strongholds. If we truly repent of the things we do wrong, sorry, I'll start that again. If we don't truly repent of the things we do wrong, Satan establishes a foothold, and footholds can be established through the enemy's subtle works and lies. This foothold can then become a stronghold. It takes root and can linger in our lives for a long time. And they become harder to break. The word stronghold in the Greek translates as fortress. Now, a fortress is a structure with high, thick walls that are impenetrable, much harder to break down. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 27, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. So imagine Paul has written this letter to Jubilee Church. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That last line again. And do not give the devil a foothold. So in this particular example, Paul is talking to the church family in Ephesus, and he's saying, if you have a disagreement with a brother or sister at church, sort it out. Because if you don't, it will fester, become a foothold that Satan can use against you. That's what he does. He wants to cause division, infighting, and making coming to church unpleasant and full of anxiety. So I said, okay, Lord, what footholds does Satan have on me and the church? Well, the Lord began to show me of a foothold / stronghold that we can bring to the Lord and ask forgiveness for. So on this slide, if you can find that, I thank you earlier for wrestling with these slides to try and make this work for me. I really appreciate it. On this slide, the four footholds beginning with D. Well, first one's a bit tenuous, I know. I couldn't think of a word for forgiveness that began with D. So I just had to put, don't be bitter, forgive. Distraction, desire, and doubt. So let's start with the first one, bitterness. As I was studying this and thinking about footholds, it quickly became apparent that this applied to me, that I was carrying bitterness. And it was towards 4 to 5 lads from school, over 30 years ago. And sometimes when I'm least expecting it, a memory of this event can pop into my head. It will be unkind words, a punch, a kick, a little bit of bullying, nothing major. I didn't suffer like that at school, but it's just little bits and pieces that I can recall. And when I think about them and I start to dwell on them, it feels like it happened yesterday. And I start to fantasize about going back to that place and dealing with it so different. I fantasize about going, right, I'm going to stand up and say something now, put you in your place. Because I'm a grown-up now, I can do that. Or I fantasize about lashing back violently more than they hurt me, so I hurt them 10 times more. You know, that kind of feeling inside. It's like something inside, like a little animal that growls, that wants to do something. That bitterness that I hold on to is the result of unforgiveness. In Romans 12, 19, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." You see, God wants me to forgive those men who are now, those boys who are now men. I'm to love those men, pray for those men. For it's the Lord's job to administer any justice. The lie of Satan is that I have every right to be angry because I was hurt. I should lash out. It's okay to feel that bitterness. How dare they infringe on me? But that's not what the Lord wants. Now, I don't know where any of them are right now. Except I will tell you a story. I got a text from an old friend of mine, and he knew these boys because we were in the same class. And he said, "I've just seen A in Morrison Supermarket, and I can tell you he is short, fat, and bald." And I went, "Yes. Thank you, Lord. Justice." Seriously. Satan wants me in bondage to sin. Satan wants me to feel unable to forgive. Then when he has got me there, he wants me to feel that I'm not worthy to be in church leadership. He wants me to ring up to him and say, "I'm sorry, Tim, I can't preach on Sunday. I'm weighed down by sin and bitterness." That's where Satan wants us. Weighed down is a good word. It reminds me of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress with a rucksack full of heavy rocks. And he's walking up the hill and the Lord wants to come in and take those rocks out. Let's go to the second of my footholds that we've got there. Distraction. How can distraction be a foothold? Well, I believe it can. You see, life is full of distractions. There is a constant stream of stuff competing for our attention outside of working life and family commitments. Texts, emails, social media, WhatsApp, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and many, many more. I wonder how many of you, like me, get distracted by too much TV. As in our house, we have Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Disney Plus, and the terrestrial channels. All competing for one's attention. In Matthew 6, verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Lord who is unseen." Now, please don't understand me. I'm not saying that those things are bad. We have to keep them under control. We have to control those devices in our homes that demand our attention. And if we are honest, consuming content through mobiles and TVs can be addictive. Rather than following God's agenda, we end up following our own. Maybe you have other distractions in your life that stop you from having time to tune in to God's agenda. Do you have an issue with procrastination? Putting off things that need to be done by finding other things to do instead? You struggle spending time reading God's word or praying or spending time in God's presence because you find other things to do that put you off speaking and listening to God. It's amazing how I can end up starting a job that can wait. I'll find myself reading my emails or checking the weather, the news, and eventually make time to read my Bible or pray. Eventually, I get round to making myself available to follow God's agenda. The next of the footholds, desire. Can sinful desire be a stronghold or a foothold? In James 1, verses 14 to 15 says this. Each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Strong words from James there. These sins, such as lust, improper thoughts towards the opposite sex, not stopped, the thoughts not taken captive, can spiral and give the enemy a foothold in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, we take every thought captive. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, the same applies to covetousness. Looking at material possessions, a big posh house, a car, a boat, that we may resent seeing owned by someone else that leads to jealousy. Comparing yourselves to others and wishing you had what they had. Do you know that whatever we desire tempts us? James again says this, chapter 1, verse 14. Each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. We need to desire what pleases God and not what pleases the flesh. It's so easy to become complacent and let our defences down and let our minds wander. What can happen is as ungodly desire takes residence in our hearts, the enemy can establish a foothold in our lives that can cause us to be burdened with guilt and shame. Let's focus on godly desires, not ungodly ones. Let's focus on wanting to be more like Christ, what God wants for our lives, and what God wants for this church and the future. What about the foothold of doubt? Now, this is interesting. Doubt is an interesting example. Actually, doubt can be healthy. We all have questions, hesitations, moments of doubt. And often, when we wrestle with these things, they can really lead to revelation. Oh, you know, you get something in your mind, you think, I'm not sure about that. I'm just going to check it out. So, you look through the Bible, and maybe you're not finding it there, so you find your home group leader or an elder or somebody you trust and say, you know, I'm really struggling with this. And then what happens when the revelation comes? You say, I get it now. I understand. Thank you, Lord. That's doubt when it's been positively addressed. Theologians and Christians have wrestled with God's word for centuries, and the Lord can take our questions and help us develop understanding. However, doubts can also be an avenue the devil uses to undermine our faith. If we let them fester, doubt can erode our faith, and if we fail to bring them before God. So I encourage you, church, wrestle with your questions. Read books and talk to mentors. Bring them up in home groups. Don't let them fester. If we shove our doubts under the carpet, hoping they might go away, there is a danger our doubts can develop into something destructive. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, be sober-minded, be watchful, your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The enemy loves it when we doubt, and he whispers in your ear, see, that's all made up nonsense, and the church has duped you. You've been foolish, believing rubbish. Doubt has the power to rob you of your peace, your joy, and moving forward with God's will. Don't be drawn back to the ways of the world. So before we enter into time of prayer, let's summarize the four footholds. Number one, bitterness. when we have our hearts full of unforgiveness. Number two, distractions. When we follow our own agenda, not God's. Number three, ungodly desires. When we have ungodly desires and need to repent for them. And fourth, doubt. When doubt is not addressed, Satan establishes a foothold and pulls us away from the purposes of God and back into the world. Now here's what I want us to do, church. We are going to say sorry to God and we're going to repent together. Now you may be thinking, but I can't relate to those things, Matt. So I don't need to repent. But can I encourage you to do it anyway? It doesn't matter if only one out of four you think applies to you. Speak them out anyway. Here is the reason why. We are stepping out in faith and audibly speaking words where God can see our hearts. We are reaching out to God saying, Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us, as we don't want the enemy to have a foothold to carry forward into the future. We want to be collectively be striving for holiness. Amen? Now think of the Israelites. They just returned to Jerusalem from Babylon, led by Nehemiah, out of exile. They're standing in the city walls, and it's not looking great. The gates have been burnt down. The temple is a mess. It's a wreck. They needed to rebuild the house of the Lord, knowing there would be opposition. Jerusalem was a shell of its former self. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, he prayed this. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Satan does not want to see Jubilee Church have a great future. He wants us to be full of doubt, to believe that we're going to become so few in numbers we can't afford to stay open and disappear. So we're going to collectively repent, and this is how it's going to work. I will speak out a line and I will ask you to repeat it. And I promise to try and go fairly slowly. As we do, ask the Holy Spirit to point out things in your life that you might need to address. Now, I make no apology for the fact that this sometimes can be uncomfortable, as God may show you things that you would rather forget. But it's really important that we break the enemy's footholds in our lives and for the sake of the church. Then I think it would be great to finish with a song, and I think you would like prayer for something that God has shown you, come out and receive prayer. Now, can we who are able please stand? I'm going to read out Nehemiah's prayer. Then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. Okay, repeat after me. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on Jubilee Church. We recognize the necessity to repent of our sins. Okay, we're going to start with bitterness. Lord, hear our hearts as we seek your forgiveness. Lord, please free us from the foothold of bitterness. Lord, help us to love those we are bitter towards. Lord, we pray for their well-being. Amen. Okay, now distraction. Lord, hear our hearts as we seek your forgiveness. Lord, please free us from the foothold of distraction. Just take a moment just to think of that in your mind, what might be distracting you, and picture yourself as you do that. Lord, give us discernment to recognize ungodly distractions. Lord, help us to be focused on righteous and godly pursuits. Amen. Okay, now desire. Lord, hear our hearts as we seek your forgiveness. Lord, please free us from the foothold of unrighteous desire. Again, just take a moment to think what that might be for you. Give it to the Lord. Just say sorry in your heart. Lord, give us discernment to recognize ungodly desires. Lord, give us minds that seek after pure and godly desires. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit can guide and support us through this process. Okay, and last, doubt. We're nearly there. Lord, hear our hearts as we seek your forgiveness. Lord, please free us from the foothold of doubt. Lord, help us to trust your word as it is written. Help us not to bury doubts, but seek after answers. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for your compliance there. It's lovely.